Good evening and welcome back to Ulcerative Colitis Motherhood and Me. I'm Ulcerative Colitis Mama, and tonight I'm joining you quite possibly for the last time as an unmarried woman. So as you can imagine, tonight's episode is pretty much going to be about that and just kind of how it's influencing and everything on my well-being really. So before I get started in tonight's episode, of course, as ever, most of my podcast episodes, in fact, probably a majority of them, do talk about mental health and just sort of mental health disorders, mental illness, anxiety, depression, and a lot of things like that. So as always, I do appreciate people are in different stages of recovery and it's never linear. So I do, you know, obviously respect that. So as always, listener discretion is advised. So let's get started with tonight's episode. So yeah, now it's down to a matter of days rather than weeks or months now. And as things are kind of getting closer to the big day, it's just kind of, I'm trying to sort of keep everything in check, really. I know I have what I like to call, I have big emotions. So it's kind of a case of just kind of taking it easy, just enjoying the process and not getting too overwhelmed by everything. So today I had my final meeting with the venue. So what I had to do, it's called the pre-event meeting. And that was basically a case of just finalising everything with the wedding coordinator and then meeting the, I can't remember what his official job title was, but it was something like event manager or operations manager or something, kind of sounded a bit like he worked for the Secret Service. But he actually kind of sat opposite me and looked more like somebody I'd hang around with in college. So, you know, it was quite a like-minded kind of person. So, and he was quite, it was quite good really, because one of the song choices I obviously, you know, being the control freak and organising pretty much all the wedding myself, one of the songs I picked for when we sang the register, so like the interval in the middle of the ceremony, is Swing Life Away by Rise Against, who by possibly one of my favourite bands of all time. And when the wedding coordinator was obviously reading through the music just to make sure everything was in the right order and it was the right, you know, right band, right artist or whatever, right song, he sort of, his ears pricked up a little bit and he went, "You're having Rise Against at your wedding ceremony." I was like, yeah, I wish I could have the real band, but unfortunately my budget didn't stretch that far. And they're on tour. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, they're like one of my favourite bands. I have them like tattooed all over my body. And I was like, cool. I don't know what you kind of say to that really, but I was like, yeah, cool, you're kind of sang like my sort of wavelengths kind of person, so this sounds like, you know, the event manager is going to be pretty cool, you know. So he's going to act as like the basically rounding up everybody to make sure they're all ushered into the ceremony room, that there aren't any stragglers, and he's also going to act as like sort of master of ceremonies and toastmaster, which I'm kind of not quite sure what the difference is or if they're kind of the same thing or not, but you know, he's going to do all that role anyway and just sort of hope the sort of the day kind of runs smoothly. So that meant I had to drop sort of any of the decorations or any of the items that I've purchased myself to the venue. So me being super organized, which I always take it like an insult really that I'm so organized, but I think I've been waiting for this because I was so cheesy, but I've been waiting for this moment for my whole life. And I, you know, as kind of stereotypical and kind of weird as that may sound, and I just want to get it right. And you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. I'm not looking for like perfection. I'm just looking for a good, memorable day for the right reasons. And with having anxiety, and I'm hoping there's other people out there that kind of feel the same way, is that being in control is what keeps the little gremlins in our anxiety part of our brain, to, you know, kind of keeps them at bay really. And by being organized, that's keeping me in control, which is keeping my anxiety out of, you know, at bay, which is making me feel happy or content or not anxious. So what I've kind of done is I think it's a little bit extreme, but I've basically categorized each box. So I've got three boxes that I've delivered to the venue today, and each box is for a different purpose. So I've got one for like table decorations, one for cake table and cake decorative items, and then like a third one, which is like the you know, sort of like the fun sort of selfie station kind of thing, which is what I've come up with myself, because I didn't want to fork out a lot of money for a photo booth. So these are all the items I've purchased, and I've put them all in sort of the category of box, and I've also labelled the boxes and put a contents sheet inside it as well, just instructing the venue where I want things or where I want them to be situated. And they were quite impressed by this, but at the same time I thought, they're going to think I'm completely neurotic. But how else, in my mind, is how am I going to communicate to a group of strangers, essentially, who are running my wedding, to get them to get things together, like in the way that I would like them to be? And I don't think I've been that extreme. And it's not a lot of stuff that I've brought to the venue, really. Like I said, it's three storage boxes worth, so not a great deal. But it's just sort of putting our personal touch on the wedding, really. So we've hired a lot of decorations and stuff from a company who work closely with the venue, which are all incredibly beautiful. I've seen them at wedding fairs a few times, and photos of them when they've done sort of Instagram posts online, and as beautiful as they are, I wanted to put my own personal swing on things, and you do, I guess, at a wedding. And so like the table names and things, we're doing sort of in lieu of favors, we're doing charity donation instead, which myself and Big G have done, to charities very close to us, and, you know, kind of putting a personal swing on things, really. And sort of kind of in keeping with that tradition of not being traditional people. So that's kind of all been done and sorted, and it kind of went incredibly smoothly, and it was actually like a half an hour appointment, whereas previously when I've been to the venue before and spoken to the wedding coordinator or coordinators, she's my fifth one, things have taken like an hour or so, and just talking ideas through, and just sort of for her to get an idea of like what kind of people me and Big G are. And I'm happy to say I feel quite relaxed in a sense, but at the same time I'm like, oh my god, I'm getting married in a few days, and it's like, it's quite crazy, because it's like, kind of corny as it sounds, you know, we've done everything sort of like the sort of reverse, really. We got the house, we had the baby, we got the dog, you know, we've and then it was like, you know, we've been engaged for nearly 11 years. And it was kind of, I was getting a little bit down about it, to be honest, because it was like we were seeing people having engagements and getting married way before we were. And, you know, of course, we had little G, so that kind of, that was our, and will always be our highest priority, is big little G. And then, you know, just things like doing things to the house, and just, you know, just our priorities, you know, marriage wasn't one of them at the time. And, you know, over the course of the years, we've probably attended about 15 weddings, maybe, quite a few, and four being in 1 year. And, you know, to me, that was like, it's like, I always feel like I'm the bridesmaid and never the bride, you know. It was, and it was only like a couple of those weddings where, you know, I was only a bridesmaid to one of them. So, you know, it was starting to kind of get to me a little bit, I guess, because you know, and it like I said in my previous podcast episodes, marriage isn't for everybody. Not everybody wants to get married, and I completely respect that and get that. And it is a lot of expense for one day. And you can make it as big or as small as you want it to be. But for me, it kind of sort of fortified what we've got. And we've been through a lot of personal challenges in the last few years, and, you know, with me and my health and just everything else, and just now we're, you know, I'm in a good place in my health these days, and we're very secure, and we've done everything we can do to the house at the moment, although he's sort of eyeing up his next project. You know, so I just thought, this is the next step, really, and it's now or never. And yeah, we were walking along. Me and him had gone out for lunch one day, and he started, you know, chatting away about stuff. And this is about, God, probably about 15 months ago. You know, little G was at school, so we're like, oh, we'll go for a walk and we'll have some lunch. And on the way back, it was like, yeah, so my friend wants to do the Matterhorn in 2023. And I was like, oh, really? And he was like, yeah. And he kind of wants me to go along. And I was like, oh, does he now? And he said, yeah, I did tell him that I'd have to score some major brownie points before you let me do that. And I was like, I'd never not let him do anything. You know, he loves the mountains, and it's always been his dream to go to the Alps and things. So, you know, I thought, well, can't really sort of deny him his sort of passion for ice climbing and basically anything dangerous. And I said, oh, yeah, I know, major brownie points. I said a dog and a wedding would be good. And he was like, okay. And that was it. That was the conversation we needed. And it wasn't like we'd hit a stalemate or anything in our relationship. Our relationship is incredibly solid, and, you know, we've grown up together. We know each other's ticks. We know each other's sort of faults and flaws. We know, and we work with that. We know neither of us are perfect people. You know, and I will openly admit that I'm definitely not perfect. I'm so far from it. So, you know, it was always a bit of a bone of contention for me that we weren't married and we'd been together longer than most of our friends. You know, some of our friends are on their second marriage. But in all seriousness, it was just that conversation we needed to have, really. And sometimes I'm always a bit sort of reluctant to have certain conversations with Big G, because I'm worried about, once it's said, it can't be unsaid. And I've always been in that level of insecurity where, you know, and it's probably not very healthy on my part, but I'm scared of saying something that will make him back away. And that was kind of how we kind of never really kind of discussed marriage after we got engaged. And it kind of fell by the wayside for quite a few years, and it wasn't an issue. And it still isn't, really. It was just, you know, having been to our, like, you know, 10th, 15th wedding, it just kind of got to me a little bit that, you know, we're not as young and as sprightly as we once were. I'm not saying we're ancient. I mean, you know, we're only in our mid-30s. But, you know, I was like, if not now, when? And yeah, we had stuff to do to the house. We had the bathroom that really, really did need doing. And you know me with the colitis, I have to have my bathroom. That's like a, you know, toilet anxiety. And yeah, so that kind of, it came out was like a casual joking conversation like that. And then next minute we're looking at wedding venues and looking at places, you know, where we could potentially get married and how many people we would have. And then we had a meeting at this, you know, I exchanged a few emails to certain like venues in the area. And then this one got back to me. I liked the sound of the, you know, the event coordinator I was talking to. She sounded pretty, you know, attentive and understanding. Of course they want your money, but she left about a month after I booked the wedding. anyway, and that was it. That next minute we know we've booked to get married, and you know, here we are sort of fast approaching the big day, and it's, you know, it's I'm feeling a mixture of everything, really. There's a lot of sort of emotions coming out of it, and you know, I'm there isn't a night that goes by where I don't at least think of the wedding and how it's going to go and how I sort of play it in my mind, really. And it feels quite emotional to think, you know, I'll be wearing a wedding dress and having these beautiful flowers and having all my close friends and family sharing that day with us and walking down the aisle and having these, you know, having sort of professional photographs done and saying our vows and sort of, you know, exchanging rings and stuff and all that kind of thing that you see in films and TV, and you know, you see it with your friends in real life, you know, and you really, really envy it sometimes. And it's like, wow, this is actually really going to happen. And then you start thinking, oh, what happens if he doesn't turn up? And there was like there was a girl sort of, I don't know, is doing the rounds on social media where she was waiting for her groom, and the groom didn't turn up on a wedding day. So rather than sort of commiserating and feeling like the world had fallen apart, which ultimately would happen if it happened to me, she carried on and partied. And I think, do you know what? Good on her. You know, it's a lot of money. And, you know, I do sort of think, oh, what happens if he doesn't turn up? But then the thing is, well, we live in the same house for one, and we have a child together. So, you know, I've got that kind of in my favour. Plus the fact that my parents are going to be there, his parents are going to be there, siblings and everything else. But no, I know he's going to turn up. What worries me is I worry for him. He's kind of like, he's slightly more introverted than me in a way. I mean, I have always considered myself an introvert. I've always been quite bookish and socially awkward and, you know, yeah, basically. And he was always more popular. He's very, you know, he seemed a lot more confident as a teenager than he does now in a way. In terms of like, I don't think he really cared as a teen. I don't think he was that self-conscious. I don't know. And I don't know if he is now or why he would be. But he's not very social. He's social with the people he knows and trusts. But otherwise he just doesn't like attention. He doesn't like to be sort of the centre of attention, which unfortunately is unavoidable at a wedding, especially if you're the bride or the groom. And so I've always kind of kept things on the down low for him, and kept things on a need to know basis, because I think the more information I give him, the more he's got to think about, and the more he's going to overthink, and the more he's going to worry. So by kind of overtaking the wedding planning and doing it mostly by myself, which I haven't minded, to be honest, I've quite enjoyed the process. I'm not doing it again though, and I won't do it for anybody else, because it just eats up so much of your time, and you know, you sit there and change your mind, like the, you know, like the weather and, you know, things like that. But keeping things on a need to know basis for him, in my mind, is protecting him and protecting his mental well-being, and ultimately I feel like I can withstand the storm a little bit more in that regard. And I think it's just, I don't know, it's just, I worry, I think, if things got too much and too big for him, that he'd back off. So I took it upon myself. I just kind of would ask him, look, are you happy with this amount of people coming? Who do you want there? Who don't you want there? Do you care about what food we have? What music we have? And he's pretty much said, look, you're driving this thing, I'll just turn up. And I said, yep, that's fine. You turn up and you sort your own suit arrangements. And I think that's quite a good compromise, really. I've done like 95% of the wedding planning. He's done about 5%, and that'll be his suit. That's fine. I honestly don't mind. He picked his wedding ring. That's fine. And I'm happy with that. And, you know, as obviously the days are approaching now and, you know, shit's getting real, I'm starting to worry a little bit now for him and myself. I'm just a bit in the mind of, I'm nervous. But we're having a very intimate ceremony, and by intimate, I mean there's going to be like about 38, 39 people there max. I think altogether, I think it's about 66 as my final number. So when you think about it, that's not actually, for a wedding, that's not that big. And it's just kind of like the thought of, I'm worried that things aren't going to go smoothly. And, you know, all the advice I've had off fellow brides and things has been, just don't, you know, things might not go the way you want them to, but just enjoy it regardless, you know, just providing nothing major happens, just enjoy it. The end game is the same, which is true. It's absolutely true. And not the striving for perfection thing, because, you know, it's like everything else. It's like when you have a baby and stuff, it doesn't always go the way you want it to. So it's just kind of like, I feel a little bit overwhelmed, the thought of that song playing when I come in and seeing him at the end of the aisle waiting for me. I feel quite emotionally, not overwhelmed, I quite feel quite emotional about that. I feel quite emotional that I'll be holding on to my dad for grim life. I'll feel emotional because my grandparents won't be there. And neither will his. And that's just, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I like to think, you know, they're whatever you believe, that they're there in spirit and watching over you, whichever, you know, you choose to believe. And it's all this planning has come to a head, really. And it's just about declaring our love for each other and making everything sort of official and tying it all up. And that's basically what I wanted from marriage, was just that security, I guess. I don't know, because just sharing a name, the same name as him and my son, I guess. But anyway, it's just, and then like, look, but then I think that I'd be looking forward to meeting everybody and, you know, mingling and introducing family to friends and friends to family and friends to other friends and, you know, and I'm having a first dance and eating the cake that I that I've changed my mind on so many times. It's, I just can't believe it's really happening, and it's happening to me, the bookish, awkward, sort of socially inept, you know, greasy haired girl with pale skin and, you know, who didn't know her way around, you know, eyebrow shaping and makeup and had braces and dodgy glasses and wore baggy clothes, and all of a sudden here I am at 35 marrying the boy I fell in love with nearly 20 years ago. It's just crazy. It's like, you know, it's just like a new chapter in our adventure together, and I think it just means so much more in that way. You know, I'm not saying that people that have been together like a couple of years or, you know, less than 5 years or whatever, and they've got married and whatever, and they go on to have incredibly happy lives as well. But I think it just means, it's such an affirmation, I guess, that we're still going strong after all these years. And, you know, we've had our spats and we've had our disagreements and we've had some challenges, and, you know, and I just think it's just the next step, I guess. And, you know, just solidifying that, I guess. I don't know. It's all very poetic when you think about it, isn't it, really? But yeah, it's just like the nerves now, I think. And I worry that Big G, if I'm feeling like this, goodness knows what Big G's feeling like. So I try and keep things calm. I don't talk to him about the wedding. I know that sounds stupid, but it's just, again, need to know. Does he need to know? No, well, don't talk about it then. Because, again, I don't want to overwhelm him. And if it means I have to go through the best man or go through family or whatever, so be it. And I think, like, the pressure's not on in that regard, but my brother's come all the way from Australia. He's literally landed in the next village. He's staying in an Airbnb with my sister-in-law and my nephew, two villages away. He's flown around the world to be here. So I feel so deeply honoured by that. You know, that they've taken my nephew out of school for a couple of weeks. I mean, they've made a holiday of it. They've stopped off in like Paris and London on the way. But I feel quite overwhelmed by that, that somebody, I know he's my brother and he loves me, but that they've gone through that for me as well. And apparently my mum was saying when she phoned my brother just to say, you know, oh, by the way, Lauren's getting married. He said, when? And I'll book flights. You know, just tell me when and I'll be there. And, you know, I'm so truly sort of gobsmacked and honoured by that. Considering we hated each other as kids, you know. Well, he hated me. I idolised him. He hated me. But, you know, we've turned out all right as adults, I think. Yeah, it's just quite an overwhelming time, really. And just getting the final arrangements with, like, my bridesmaids and my friends and just things. Like, I finish work on Sunday and it's worked out that I get 3 weeks off work, which is absolutely amazing because I never get 3 weeks off work. Not since I was, like, on maternity leave. So I've had that time to kind of calm down a little bit and relax and get like all my beauty treatments and stuff booked in and stuff like that, and just kind of enjoying the rest of the planning process. And, you know, this is going to sound kind of a bit corny, a bit superficial, and a bit kind of, it's going to sound a bit conceited perhaps, but I've never really been the centre of attention before. It's something I've always shied away from, and I've never really been that type of person to be thrust into, like, for people to be looking at me, if that makes sense. Like I said, I wasn't anything special. I was pretty invisible for a very long time. In terms of the job I do, the school I went to, I didn't excel in sports or music or anything that the school was renowned for. I just sort of got on my work, got decent grades and left and went to college. You know, my teachers don't really remember me. I wasn't a memorable student. And I don't mean that as like, I know teachers only remember the really good and the really bad. So I was somewhere in the mediocre. And then again, I've gone into public service. I've gone into nursing where I kind of all blend, you know, us nurses kind of all blend into one. You know, it doesn't really matter. As long as somebody looked after you well, nobody will ever remember you. So this is going to be the first time I'm not invisible. So that's a pretty big deal in that respect, that I'm going to be visible for the first time. And like, even podcasting and posting on social media as Ulcerative Colitis Mama, I kind of liked that invisibility, especially when it came to having colitis, which is, as much as we're trying to fight the stigma, it's still quite a taboo subject, talking about bowels and bowel disease and embarrassing issues with, you know, whatever comes with IBD. And then to go on to have mental health problems, sometimes the anonymity is quite protective. And so to be invisible in that regard is quite a comfort because nobody seeks you out. So this is, like I said, the first time I'm going to feel fully visible, and exposed in that way, not physically, obviously. It's not the kind of dress I'm choosing to wear, but the having that everybody's eyes on me is going to be weird. So yeah, to kind of go from like that kind of social invisibility in that regard to suddenly for that small period, well, that small window in time of being very visible and in a big dress with beautiful flowers and, you know, with a very handsome chap in a suit and declaring our love, you know, publicly, you know, however intimate our wedding is, it's, you know, it's going to be a big deal for both of us. And, you know, it's something I never really thought would ever happen. And I think, you know, it's, I've never really had that eyes on me kind of thing. And I'm going to enjoy it to my very best ability because that's all the advice I've been getting for the last 2 weeks is enjoy your day, take a breath, take it all in because it goes so fast. And as well as that, I don't want the wedding blues. I know it's quite a normal process, but it's not something I particularly want. So by taking a breath and taking it all in, I want to enjoy that day. I want to enjoy wearing that dress. I want to enjoy holding those flowers and wearing my wedding ring and cutting the cake and dancing and having all that merriment. And I think that's exactly what my family and friends have needed, especially given the last couple of years. I know when I book the wedding and I started telling, obviously, I haven't invited my whole family, for very many reasons. And one of my aunties, you know, and I said, you know, save the date, you know, we're me and Big G are getting married. And she actually said, rather than, oh, how exciting, all this, whatever, she said, thank you. And I was a bit taken aback by that because I was like, I'm not quite sure. And when I spoke to my dad about it, he said, because your auntie's been waiting. She's gone through so much in the last 2 years. She's thanking you for giving her something to look forward to. And I was like, wow, this is a big deal. And then my other auntie, her sister, my dad's youngest sister, her partner, who is notoriously, what's the word I'm looking for? Frugal, has said this is he's been looking forward to it all year. He's gone out, bought a new suit. He's, you know, really, really enjoying it. He's really looking forward to it. So I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I love my family, absolutely. And things like having my brother coming over. I haven't seen my brother for 3 years. I haven't seen my sister-in-law for like 9 years. It's going to be pretty crazy. And like my closest friends, like my, you know, my oldest school friend who, you know, I've been friends with, she's been my most constant oldest friend I've ever had because obviously I moved around a lot as a kid. So she was like my first friend at primary school when I moved to the area, and we're still friends now, like it's 29 years later. And, you know, she's going to be there. And there's going to be people, you know, my best friends are going to be there who I just love so, so much. And all our close friends are going to be there, and our close family is going to be there, and it's just going to be marvelous. It's going to be wonderful. However, whatever happens, whatever the weather, whatever come what may, I'm really looking forward to it. And even like my work, a few of my work friends are coming as well. Even my boss. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. And I just want people to have fun and enjoy themselves, let their hair down and just party like these last 2 years haven't happened. And that's kind of what I'm aiming for. And of course I get to wear the dress, and I did go for my what was going to be my final fitting last week, and it's turned out, like, you know, positively, that the dress was still a bit too big, so I had to obviously leave it there, and she's had to pin it again, and she's taken it in another inch or so, which is good, you know, which is good on my part, I guess. So I'm picking that up on Thursday, and what I wanted doing to it, she's done, and she's done an incredible job, and I can't believe the change in the dress. It looks absolutely beautiful, and I just can't wait to put it on again and wear it and walk down the aisle in it and try to dance in it. And with everything, with all the accessories and things, and me and my mum went through some accessories because she said, no, you must have something old and something borrowed, because I've got plenty of new, and I've got something blue. So she said, come and have a look through my jewellery collection. So I was like, okay. that's something I haven't done since I was a kid, is root through her jewellery box. And quite aptly, you know, I said, look, I need a bracelet or a bangle or something, but because of the material of my dress, I'm quite concerned that I don't want anything catching it and tearing it, or because I've got like a lot of tulle on my dress. And she said, oh, I've got this bangle here, and it was actually given to her by my grandma, who's sadly not with us. So that felt very apt, and it's got a lovely verse about mother and daughter, and I think that's just very, very apt. And a necklace that I'm borrowing from her, so they're old and borrowed, is a necklace that my granddad, so my dad's dad, bought for her the Christmas before he died. So in a way, it'll feel like they're with me on the day. And my mum did get a little bit choked up when I said that, but I said, you know, this is perfect, you know, these are the items that I think will go beautifully. And I can't believe it's really happening, you know. And all my supplies have gone a bit on the quiet now, so I'm guessing that's because they're squirreling away and, you know, kind of working on the things that I bought from them, you know. I can't wait to see my flowers and my cake. I'm really, really looking forward to that. I'm just looking forward to all of it. It's just going to be incredible, and I'm going to just make the very, very best of it. And in a way, because I'm not working at the moment, because I've been off, I've been sleeping better, I felt more relaxed in that way, because I'm not working three jobs in one. I'm no longer covering that other job anymore, which I did quite enjoy, to be fair. It's just not doing it alongside my job. I'd rather do one or the other. Providing I don't get into trouble or anything, that I've done something massively wrong by the time I get back to work. But, you know, I just feel like I can be me. I'm not nurse me so much now. I'm me, and I can enjoy being me for quite a few weeks now. And just, yeah, just things like even get my nails done, because if anybody out there who works for the health service will know that we're not allowed to have, you know, especially in clinical environments, we can't have false nails. We can't have nice long nails. And to be fair, we wash our hands that often that our nails don't grow anyway. So being able to have my nails done, just having a facial, having my eyebrows done, just all the stuff that I don't really have time to do, I can get done. So I don't look like a swamp creature so much. And yeah, I just can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing my brother and his family. You know, I'm hoping to see them this week before the big day and just get everything, you know, sorted. And yeah, just really looking forward to it. Just can't wait. So I know I'm rabbiting on about the same things and just, you know, and it's probably been a little bit on the boring side in the last couple of podcast episodes, but I'm just sort of releasing all this sort of emotion and things into these podcast episodes just so I can, you know, I find it quite cathartic. And whether, you know, it's, like I said, whether it's one of you listening 10 times or 10 of you listening once, you know, I do wholeheartedly appreciate you listening to my podcast episodes. And I guess I will be joining you next time as a married woman. So I'll see what married life does to me in those, you know, next few weeks. So on that note, I'm going to call it a night and wish you all a lot of love and happiness. And like I said, I appreciate that mental well-being, mental health is not a linear process and everybody is in different stages of their recovery. And I just want you to know that there are plenty of support groups out there, support networks, charities, websites, text services, phone, you know, helplines. And on my website, my WordPress site, so that's wordpress.com/ulcerative colitis motherhood and me, I have a useful links tab. Click on that and there's a list of about 4 or 5 different charities, and that's sort of around most of the subjects I do cover in my podcast episodes and my other supported media as well. And yeah, so if you want to have a look at that, your perusal, that you are more than welcome. I will try and post some posts after the wedding, just, you know, if any of you are interested in seeing me on the day, it looking like a girl, a girly girl, which is something I'm never am. I will be doing that in due course, but otherwise I will see you on the flip side, and take care, everybody. Good night.